Chapter 56 Major Gus Holliman was flying scared. A career Air Force pilot with almost 300 hours of flight time, he was suffering acute pangs of doubt, and doubt was one of a pilot's worst enemies. Lack of confidence in himself, his aircraft, or the men on the ground could prove deadly. He couldn't bring himself to believe his mission to shoot down the space shuttle Gettysburg was anything more than a crazy exercise dreamed up by some egghead general with a fetish for far-out war games. A simulation, he told himself for the 10th time. It had to be a simulation that would terminate at the last minute. Holliman stared up at the stars through the canopy of the F-15E night attack fighter and wondered if he could actually obey an order to destroy the space shuttle and all those on board. His eyes dropped to the instruments that glowed on the panel in front of him. His altitude was just over 50,000 feet. He would have less than 3 minutes to close on the rapidly descending space shuttle and lock in before firing a radar-guided MODOK missile. He automatically went through the procedure in his mind, hoping it would get no further than a mental event. "Anything yet?" he asked his radar observer, a gum-chewing lieutenant named Regis Murphy.
"Still out of range," replied Murphy. "The last update from the Space Center in Colorado puts her altitude at 26 miles, speed approximately 6,000 and slowing. She should reach our sector in 5 minutes, 40 seconds, at a speed of 1,200.
Holliman turned and scanned the black sky behind, spotting the faint exhaust glow of the two aircraft following his tail.
"Do you copy, Fox 2?
"Roger, Fox Leader.
"Fox 3?
"We copy."
A cloud of oppression seemed to fill Holliman's cockpit. None of this was right. He hadn't dedicated his life to defending his country, hadn't spent years in intensive training simply to blast an unarmed aircraft carrying innocent scientists out of the air. Something was horribly wrong.
"Colorado Control, this is Fox Leader."
"Go ahead, Fox Leader."
"I request permission to terminate exercise. Over."
There was a long pause. Then, "Major Holliman, this is General Allen Post. Do you read me?"
So this was the egghead general, Holliman mused.
"Yes, General, I read you."
"This is not an exercise. I repeat, this is not an exercise."
Holliman did not mince words.
"Do you realize what you're asking me to do, sir?"
"I'm not asking, Major. I'm giving you a direct order to bring down the Gettysburg before she lands in Cuba."
There had been no time for a full briefing when Holliman was ordered to scramble his flight into the air. He was stunned and bewildered at Post's sudden revelation.
"Forgive me for asking, General, but are you acting on higher command? Over."
"Is a directive straight from your commander-in-chief in the White House good enough for you?"
"Yes, sir," he said slowly. "I guess it is."
God, Holliman thought despairingly. There was no getting around it.
"Altitude, 22 miles, 9 minutes to touchdown."
Burkhart was reading off the instruments for Juergens.
"We've got lights off to our right."
"What's going down, Houston?" asked Juergens, his face set in a frown.
"Where in hell are you putting us?"
"Stay cool," replied the impassive voice of Flight Director Foley. "You're lined up just fine. Just sit tight and we'll bring you in."
"Radar and navigation indicators say we're touching down in the middle of Cuba. Please cross-check."
"No need, Gettysburg. You're on final approach."
"Houston, I'm not getting through to you. I repeat, where are you setting us down?"
There was no reply.
"Listen to me," said Juergens in near desperation. "I'm going to full manual."
"Negative, Dave. Remain in auto. All systems are committed to the landing site."
Juergens clenched his fists in futility.
"Why?" he demanded. "Why are you doing this?"
There was no reply.
Juergens looked over at Burkhart. "Move the speed brakes back to 0%. We're going on tame. I want to keep this ship in the air as long as I can until we get some straight answers."
TAME was Terminal Area Energy Management, a process for conserving speed and altitude.
"You're only prolonging the inevitable by a couple of minutes," said Burkhart.
"We can't just sit here and accept this."
"It's out of our hands," Burkhart replied miserably. "We've no place else to go."
The real Merv Foley sat at a console in the Houston Control Center in helpless rage. His face, the color of chalk, showed an expression of incredulity. He pounded a fist against the edge of the console. "We're losing them," he muttered hopelessly. Erwin Mitchell of the Inner Corps stood directly behind him. "Our communications people are doing the best they can to get through." "Too damn late," Foley burst out. "They're on final approach." He turned and grabbed Mitchell by the arm. "For Christ's sake, Irv, beg the President to let them land. Give the shuttle to the Russians. Let them take whatever they can get out of it. But in the name of God, don't let those men die." Mitchell stared up dully at the data display screens. "Better this way," he said, his voice vague. "The moon colonists, those are your people. After all they've achieved, the years of struggling just to stay alive in a murderous environment, you can't simply write them off this close to home." "You don't know those men. They'd never allow the results of their efforts to be given away to a hostile government. If I was up there and Eli Steinmetz was down here, he wouldn't hesitate to blow the Gettysburg to ashes." Foley looked at Mitchell for a long moment. Then he turned away and buried his head in his hands, stricken with grief.